This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. And we're going to have a great time for the next hour. We have Mr. Jerry Robinson on today, who is the king of swine.
Oh, boy.
And then we have Mr. Bud Mitchell on today, who is known as the tire doctor. And we're going to cover a lot of areas. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Sims Auctioneers David Gilliam and Larry Sims. And they invite you to an absolute auction this Saturday, 10 a.m., on Richland Richardson Road, and that's just off Old Nashville Highway. Three tracks will be sold. Track one includes a 1,700 square foot, four bedroom home with garage and shop on 7 acres. And tracks two and three are both 8.5 acres with perk sites on each. Check out LarrySims.com for more information on the absolute auction this Saturday at 10 a.m. on Richland Richardson Road, just off Old Nashville Highway. Now that's LarrySims.com, and that's Sims with one M and one S. Yes, Bud.
The Old Woodbury Road.
Huh?
You had the Old Nashville Highway. It was the Old Woodbury Road.
Well, now that's what it says right here, big boy. It's Richland Richardson Road.
That's right.
Why did they give me Old Nashville Highway?
Well, it probably just had a rough day when they wrote it up.
Larry Sims, if you are listening, give me a call. I want to prove that Bud Mitchell is wrong for the first time in his life, at least in his opinion. You know.
Yeah, that'd be hard to do. He's got away with it for several years, so it's going to be hard to get him.
Jerry, I was so impressed. We're talking about Jerry Robinson. Roy Rogers' daughter came in a few weeks ago, and she was in for just a very short time. Mm-hmm. And she was working, I believe, with Farm Bureau on a special thing in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And when she came here, she was on my show. Mm-hmm. And she is such a delightful lady, sweet lady. But they ask her, where would you like to go eat? And she says, there's only one place I want to go eat when I come in, and that's Slick Pig. And she's been there two or three times before when she's come in.
She has, and I tell you, the pleasure was on our end there. Of course, Roy Rogers, it's like yourself. We remember Roy very well.
Oh, yeah.
And I never had a chance, really, to meet any of his family. I didn't really know how many children he had or whatever, but that was just part of life when we was growing up. Roy Rogers, you couldn't wait to see a good movie about him. Or, of course, we didn't have a television at home, and we had to go down here to either Princess Theater or Roxy and catch him when he's on live on the screen there. And that was a treat in itself. But she's a very special person and just as pleasant to be around as anybody you want to meet. And we really enjoyed that and very complimentary on her to just come out and want to talk with us. I think really is just kind of a place to kind of get out of the main street and just be able to sit down, just relax, maybe kind of like an at-home atmosphere. That's kind of what we have out there, and just want people to feel it comfortable, just like there's not in a five-star restaurant, but just get some good food and you just kind of kick back. If you spill a drink, you spill a drink. If you make a mess, you make a mess. But the main thing is enjoying the food.
And it is an extremely enjoyable place. And it's one thing that you and Bud have a lot in common is that you grew up here.
Yeah.
You started your business here. And Bud's phone is going off in the middle of everything. But that's what makes this community so strong is the small businesses that get started. You know people. Mm-hmm. You are extremely accommodating to everybody and friendly to everybody. And you try to make, when they come in, they're the boss. They get pretty much what they want, and you cater to them. And everybody feels the warmth and the friendliness when they go in there.
Well, that's what you try to do, and I was raised that way. Okay. My mom and dad always instilled in myself to have courtesy and respect. And It's just like those people, just like family coming to me. And the most of them now, you just either know by names or you, I'm bad about names anyhow, but the faces I can recognize. And yes, of all different, I mean, areas, you got doctors that come in, some lawyers that come in, and just old friends that come in. And it's just, it's been a renewing of the spirit to me. And then realizing that, see, people I'd went to school with or grown up with, their families. Mm-hmm. And so I had to reacquaint myself. I was gone to Murfreesboro about 30 years, time I spent in a Navy and then with the airlines in Georgia. So I didn't know their children. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't know who married who. But that's just reacquainting yourself. And, of course, old friends are old friends.
That's right.
And it's just been a pleasure for us. If whatever business I was in, I never dreamed I'd be in the barbecue business, but was, fate has it with losing jobs and them closing up and all that. Seemed like the Lord's blessed us down there with, that's what we're 17 years, so that's something about it. It's been awful good and rewarding. We just try to do the best we can with what we have down there. And like I say, customer's really your boss. And if you forget that, if you lose sight of that, you're in trouble. And they're your main line, they're your support, they're your, they take care of the expenses for you. And it's only right for us to treat them as homely and respectfully and as good as we can, and make things right.
You know, being a native and mm-hmm. here all my life, mm-hmm. there are times when I go out in the business community, and I will see hardly anybody in that place that I know.
No.
But when I go to a family-operated business, small mm-hmm. business, that's where I get to reunite mm-hmm. Friendships, because mm-hmm. I go in your place, I go in mm-hmm. Bud's. Of course, Bud and I grew up together.
Oh, yeah.
Over in the Jakestown area. Mm-hmm. It's like a reunion every time I go in, and all the great people I get mm-hmm. to see. Mm-hmm. And of course, as you know, Bud is probably the most accommodating fella. I mm-hmm. hate to compliment him because he never gives me a compliment, I can tell you that. But if anything happens to somebody where they need help, it doesn't yeah. matter what it is, Bud is always there.
That's right.
And I don't know, when he and I were growing up, I didn't see that in him.
Mm.
It seems like it was on the other side. He was more stirring up than he was helping people.
Probably running each other around with them rotten eggs and carrying on out there. I tell you, we'd get some good good little feuds going there if it wasn't trying to run over somebody with a bicycle. It was getting in some kind of mischievous event with them. And it's all kind of trickery. Between double springs and loafers resting up and down the highway, we just all knew each other, but there's some kind of little activity going on behind the scene.
Why was there so much competition between Jakes Avenue and Locust Rest? You think about it, we would play a baseball game yeah. or a basketball uh-huh. game, and it would inevitably end up in a fight.
Yeah.
And it's usually caused by Locust Rest. We were the genteel ones.
Had let some of that energy out there. We really, the work ethic can really set in real good at a real young age. Then we got in old enough where we could do baling some hay or cleaning some barns out or doing something. You didn't have all the lawnmower business you had then, you know, but we'd got to help somebody out there. I know, gosh, there's times they'd come down to the house. I just live right below that old Coleman Cemetery, and mm-hmm. and people, you know, ask you to help them dig a grave or something. But I think we got together in some of those sports activities, or we just kind of let a little of that extra energy out there, and we all remain friends, I'll say that. And we've been blessed, I'll tell you. It was just a great group of people come off that old Woodbury Highway out there, and some of them have passed on, but others have gotten business and done well, and I'm just glad to be part of that area out there. I really am.
Now, what in the world, what was your background to be able to get into the culinary arts where you have your business at Slick Pig? Of course, is off the Woodbury Highway. Mm-hmm. And what aimed you that way? Had you always been interested in food processing and things like that?
Well, as far as my interest was eating and consuming it, that's about the best interest I had. But of course, like I said, after I'd gotten out of the Navy, I was an aircraft mechanic. I got on with Eastern Airlines, and that was
a good job.
Yeah, it was, and that's what really got me out of the service. I went with a 20-year attitude. I'm able to be an aircraft mechanic, mm-hmm. And I come to reenlistment bonus there, reenlistment time. I'd done 8 years, and I thought, well, this Eastern Airlines period was paying good money at that time. We're talking about in the 60s. And I thought, well, if I get one of those jobs, I'll probably be a millionaire in a short time.
Of course.
But fate didn't have it that way. I did get on with the airlines here in Nashville. Then in 69, they laid 7 of us off, and we wound up in Atlanta, Georgia. And Eastern never grew here, so I stayed down there for about 25 years, I guess. And Eastern, of course, went on strike, and the employees, and they lost their jobs. It folded, eventually bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, they bankrupted on our pension. So I was fortunate enough to get on one of the truck lines. My daughter had worked over there. And then probably about 4 years later, they were going to send some guys to Nashville terminal up here. I said, well, put my name in the hat. I'd like to get back home. And I always loved Murfreesboro. I've been a lot of different places, but it's just something about Murfreesboro. It's just a drawing thing, and it's just home. My children had all worked in fast foods, pizzas and Golden Corrals and Chick-fil-A. Two of them worked for Chick-fil-A there. Great, great organization. And my youngest son, John, it's his barbecue, to tell you the truth about it. He said, Dad, if you get that transfer up to Murfreesboro, let's open a barbecue up there. And that time, it wasn't that many here. I mean, Witz was here. Polk Taylor was still here. And there's one other one, Goff, them out there. Mm-hmm. But that was just a very minimal amount of those. So, John, I said, well, let's see what happened. We got the transfer. Long story short, opened the barbecue up. That's Miss Stephanina Hayden's old place. She knew a lot of my family members on my mom's side, the Browns there, Roscoe and them. And we got the building, and I just say it's a godsend, really, because he knew what he was doing. I could work, but I wasn't that great far as what ingredients to put into foods and all. And I really learned from him. So people think, really, it's you the mainstay. I'm kind of the vocal point, but he's the guy behind the scenes doing the work. And so that's where we are. 17 years we've been there, and it's been a life support system for several members of my family. Of course, they've got on bigger and better jobs now. Fire departments and over here at some of the other nursing facilities and stuff. So it's been good to us.
Well, your food is not only good, but, you know, a lot of the draw is the person who is over it.
Well,
and just like everybody knows Bud. Bud's Tire, even though they have great people out there, I mean, they really have the service is at the very peak of the tire business.
Yeah.
But Bud is the draw.
There you go.
And just like you're the draw over at your place, because everybody knows Jerry Robinson and everybody knows Bud Mitchell.
Well, I tell you, I don't know. I just like people.
Mm-hmm. You do.
And I want to share with them. I mean, even a lot of them have, you know, medical problems and lost of loved ones, or people going through different trials and all in their life. But we're able to share, and with a sincere attitude, and, you know, able to just talk things over and share with them a lot about scriptures and stuff. And I think it resonates, or that they can feel that, you know, I really care for them, and I know they care for myself. They always compliment me, and a lot of my stuff I think is undeserving. But anyhow, we just do the best we can, and I think it's all about being neighbor-friendly, you know.
Now, you said you were related to the Browns, Roscoe.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary and Buddy and Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the relationship?
Well, my mother and Roscoe Brown, they were brothers and sisters.
Well, you know, as long as I've known you and them, I did not. Did you know that, Bud?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Thank you. look at him. Look at Jerry from the side.
Yeah.
He looks like Roscoe, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They often say that, and I thought, well.
You look more like Roscoe than Gary does.
Mr. Brown didn't have much to say, but now Jerry made up for the difference, so I think it come out in later genes, you know.
It looks to me like Mr. Roscoe would have mentioned that fact some time ago, as long as we knew him. Ever since we were just little crawling kids, we knew Mr. Brown.
That might be part of the reason that Jerry's as good a fella as he is. Some of Roscoe rubbed off on him. Roscoe was one of the finest men I've ever known.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And Roscoe helped. He helped the downtrodden.
Yeah.
Some people wouldn't help. Mm-hmm. Roscoe Brown would help. Mm-hmm. He was a good man.
You know, it's amazing right there in that area. You're talking about Jerry and Roscoe and you. You guys are the great example of what it takes for a small business to become successful, because you're so customer friendly and you're willing to go that nth degree to make sure that they're satisfied, and even go beyond the business part. And you know, you can see that happening in very few places. And just that one area all you guys grew up in, you all take the same pathway.
You know, one of the things I think about is what we was taught was being humble. And I guess if you come from Woodbury Road, you got to be humble, because somebody would humble you out.
But it's hard for you to be humble. I know that.
That's kind of like I told him. I said, you tell anything, just don't tell the truth. But we were around a lot of good people.
And yes, we were.
I think it did rub off. And you know, this is the reason that you're talking about success. You lay all your success on your teaching, your parents, and what they taught you. And you know, this is part of, I think, what's wrong today, that the children are not taught. And I go back, and I use this Sunday in a Sunday school class about Joshua. Joshua said, it's for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right.
Well, we were taught to serve the Lord, and this is our main goal in life, is to do this. But if we do that, I think the other parts will come in. And you know, there's a scripture in there where it says that you would hate your mother and father over, you're talking about the Lord. But it means if you love the Lord, you will serve your parents and obey them as you should. So, you know, you got to understand that scripture to understand what it's saying. But we were taught, I think, the right thing. It didn't mean we always did the right thing, because, you know, it says that in the scripture. But I think if you're taught it, you'll come back to it.
You can take a practical application of the Bible and what it teaches, and you can utilize that in your own life, and you can live a life that you're supposed to. People being people, it's not always easy, because our nature goes against a lot of the things that are meant to be for you.
Well, I tell you, I'd say all three of us right here knew where we were going to be on Sunday mornings.
Right.
And Sunday night, and probably Wednesday.
And when you're kids, you're not always happy to be there, because you're sitting still and listening. And that's just like when you go to school.
You didn't argue that point.
Because I remember Bud, but you almost had to put a rope around him in school or anywhere else when that happens, because you have other things. You're antsy and ready to go.
Well, you have that, and I remember, and I know y'all do. Actually, all up and down that old road was just like family, to be honest with you.
Yes, it was.
You could walk in somebody's house and borrow a couple of sugar. Mama and them was generally at home. Our mothers were blessed to be at home.
That was a big difference.
And the doors were open, and the bar, and if a guy, I remember Mr. Boyd got down with surgery, and neighbors would cut his hay and put it in the barn, and all kind of areas you could help in. But that was just, and that's, we saw that as children, and that gift of helps it talks about in the scripture as well. But our pastor, talking one time, we're talking about church and all, he said, yeah, I was on drugs when I was young. I drugged to Sunday school, drugged to training unit. But we weren't drugged, but we knew where we were going to be. And actually, you had time to fellowship on Sundays then. I mean, you go and have dinner with somebody. Now it's just time's just gone. It's time, I don't know what the clock sped up or what, but it just seems like it's almost impossible to enjoy a long time with.
But you know, Sundays, it was a day of rest and a day of fellowship. And either the grandma or the mom would fix lunch.
Right.
And a lot of times the preacher would come.
That's right.
And eat with you and his whole family.
Yeah.
And it was a special time because everybody would gather around, have a lot of fun, sometimes fix homemade ice cream,
yes,
the whole nine yards.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Excuse me, can I cut in front of you there?
What's your hurry, Sonny?
I'm trying to buy a winning sevens Tennessee lottery ticket right at 7 o'clock.
Ah, superstitious?
Well, July is the seventh month, and now it's $6.59.
What's it worth to you?
$20,000.
I'll take it.
No, the top prize is $20,000.
Wow, look at the time.
July just might be your lucky month. Play Winning Sevens, the new instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Can I help you?
Yes. Could I have seven winning sevens, please?
Honey, what month is it?
It's July, right?
You know what happens in July?
Let's see. Last July, you had a birthday.
You know what I want for my birthday?
No, but I'm about to find out.
My birthstone, a ruby.
Well, we better play the Tennessee Lottery.
They're not that expensive.
Well, you're right. They're only a dollar.
Huh?
Ruby Riches from the Tennessee Lottery.
Turn $1 into $1,000 with Ruby Riches, the new instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
In fact, here are two tickets. Earrings.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Kristen Thuburn. Federal prosecutors say a deal has been reached to drop the criminal case against Gibson Guitars after the instrument maker acknowledged its exotic wood imports violated environmental laws. The Nashville-based company has agreed to pay a penalty of $300,000 as part of a deal and another $50,000 towards preservation of endangered tree species. A Carthage man who was in jail in Smith County on charges of aggravated sexual exploitation of a minor faces additional sexual trafficking charges after a grand jury indicted him on a total of 25 charges. The TBI says 51-year-old Doug Clemens was arrested again after he was caught exchanging child pornography with another person. He faces several charges, including especially aggravated sexual exploitation of a minor and attempted trafficking for sexual servitude. Elvis impersonators will be in the Music City today through Thursday.
25 Elvis impersonators from throughout the world are gathering in Nashville this week for the inaugural Nashville to Memphis Festival. They will be performing in an unofficial prelude to ceremonies in Memphis August 10th through the 17th, marking Presley's death on August 16th, 1977.
TRN's Dan Idem.
Do you suffer from pain like joint pain, muscle pain, back pain, or painful arthritis? Then you must listen to this important message. Nearly half of all Americans suffer from some kind of pain due to chronic inflammation. Anetablock is a breakthrough supplement scientifically proven to quickly and effectively reduce inflammation and get rid of pain. Anetablock is so effective in preventing excessive inflammation and reducing the pain, we guarantee you'll feel a significant difference in just a few days. Best of all, Anetablock is now available to try for free. That's right. Call 800-549-0552 now and get out of pain absolutely free. Anetablock is now looking for real-life testimonials for anyone who has back pain, muscle pain, or painful arthritis. Call 800-549-0552 to get your free supply and get out of pain today. Just call 800-549-0552 for details. Call today at 800-549-0552. That's 800-549-0552. Again, 800-549-0552.
Police in Montgomery County are calling the drowning of a 2-year-old boy at his grandparents' home a tragic accident. The sheriff's office was called to the home Sunday morning where the grandparents were trying to resuscitate Gerald McKinney, who had fallen in a pool. While the grandparents were sleeping, the boy unlocked a door, climbed a fence, and fell into the pool. Deputy Ted Denny says the boy apparently wanted to let the family's puppies swim in the pool and fell in while holding one of the puppies. A surveillance video of the home captured the accident on tape. A man disavowed by the Tennessee Democratic Party to challenge Republican U.S. Senator Bob Corker in November says he's determined to show he's a viable candidate. The party announced last week it wouldn't support Mark Clayton because he belongs to an anti-gay hate group. I'm Kristen Thoburn, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Roto-Rooter Plumbers of Rutherford, Cannon, Bedford, Warren counties is a full-service plumbing and drain cleaning company providing residential, commercial, and industrial services. There are no trip charges, no contracts, or clubs to join. Roto-Rooter technicians are trained to serve, not to sell. Roto-Rooter, 890-3905, an individually owned franchise by George Weiss and Mike Watson.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And legal troubles.
890-3905.
Have you ever considered the role that companies play in the overall vitality of a community? Excellent companies realize they have a responsibility to give back to the communities where they do business. It could be serving on local boards or even making financial support available to charitable organizations. As you do business, think about the role your business plays in making a difference. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
Okay, Jose, Tex-Mex cuisine.
Hola, amigos. This is Sergio from Okay, Jose. I'm the manager. Come join us. Come try us out. We would like to earn your business. We make everything fresh from scratch. Come go and join us for a good quality meal.
Here are today's specials at Okay, Jose. It's Taco Tuesday, 99 cents all day.
Stop by Okay, Jose on South Rutherford next to Walmart for 99 cent Taco Tuesday. Again, that's on South Rutherford next to Walmart.
WeatherEye.
Time to check the forecast now. 82 degrees, sunny skies. Staff meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki with the forecast details.
Brian, we'll see mostly sunny sky conditions with a high getting into the lower 90s and winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Later on this evening, though, we'll see partly cloudy skies with a low near 70 degrees and winds out of the south around 5. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 94 degrees and winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, we'll get a low near 71 and northwest winds around 5. For Thursday, though, we'll have a chance for some showers and storms, partial sunshine, high near 94.
Right now, we have 82 degrees and sunny skies. Congratulations to our good neighbor of the day, Donna Bratcher. She receives flowers from Ryan's Flower Shop. And Jackie Hutchins, happy birthday to you today, receiving that birthday cake from our friends at Junior's Foodland.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Jerry Robinson and Bud Mitchell. And this part of their show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston. That's Gordon Ralston Photography, 315 Hickerson Drive, here in Murfreesboro. And Al Gordon, who is a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys. And you also see Larry over at Jackson Heights Theater. He kind of runs the place over there.
Yeah.
And they are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. I think Larry goes over to your diner.
Quite frequently, sure does. He and Fred Goodwin.
Boy, there's a pair.
Oh, boy. And they'd get the Good Neighbor of the Day Award either.
Now, you wouldn't pay them to stay out of your place, would you?
No,
it doesn't hurt the business.
No, it doesn't. And actually, that's how I met, you know, the Rogers lady there through Fred and all. And then, of course, the lady played in that James Bond series there.
Oh, yes. She played, it was in, Goldfinger?
Goldfinger, uh-huh. I can't remember her name, but it's like you say, it's just a... in business, it just extends and extends. But I was going to say one thing. That business, when you're in business, it doesn't just stay inside those walls.
It doesn't, no.
You've got to go outside, do that extra effort. I mean, I had mother-in-law come through from Kansas a lot of times, coming to Georgia, and they had a car goofed up. Bud pulled that thing in there, worked on it. Of course, he did it as a favor to myself and them. And people, you know, if you miss food or they don't not able maybe to get it, you take that out and, mm-hmm. and you do the extra mile, oh boy,
right.
You say. So it's not just inside that building that your business is. You don't need to let it stay there. You need to get out and extend yourself. But the people you meet in there is surprisingly. I was sitting there one day and Mark Lowry coming that thing with Bill Gaither, sings with him.
Oh,
that's why the Wild Blue Yonder. And I when he came in, I said, Mark, not the Mark Lowry, that's me. And
so, I noticed in the paper this morning that one of the Gaithers had died.
Oh, I didn't see the paper.
And I think it was Bill. I may be wrong.
Ooh-wee. It was.
I hate to say something that's not true, but it was in the paper that I think he was probably in his 50s. So,
never know.
You know, that's a shame. You know, you talk about doing things outside, mm-hmm. and we're talking about in this area or whatever.
Right.
I was at Ronald T. Wright's, my dentist, who is actually from Cookeville, but he has his business here. And he's gone down. He loves NASCAR.
Oh.
And he was riding with our buddy here, uh-huh. Bud Mitchell, and they were on their way down, and he said that they were, you know, breaking the speed limit just a little bit. You know, I know people would find that kind of odd for Bud to be breaking the speed limit. But as they were going down, they noticed a lady on the side of the road had a flat tire. Well, Bud, of course, it takes him about a mile and a half to finally come to a stop after he saw it. He backs all the way up on the interstate, probably going as fast backwards as he was going forwards, gets out, makes a routine pit stop where he changes her tire in about 2 minutes. I think it's the NASCAR style.
Yeah.
And then they're back on the road. Didn't say hi, bye, or nothing else. And, you know, that's the way Bud's always been. And he's just got a calling to help people.
Yes. And I tell you, it's amazing when you get outside of your business, even traveling, whatever, what can happen. Like I say, my wife's friend is from Kansas. Well, one of my little nephews, they followed NASCAR for several years. I took him up Bud's one day. He stopped in there on the way down, and I said, I want to introduce you to Bud Mitchell, because Bud, like I say, NASCAR, he's Rutherford County. He was showing Rutherford County NASCAR when he was going down there probably. But anyhow, they were at Talladega, I believe, wasn't it, Bud? My nephew had real bad hip. He couldn't hardly walk at all. And lo and behold, when they got down there, had to park way out, evidently. Who does he run into except Bud Mitchell? And Bud recognized him and got a guy to give him a ride all the way to that doggone
pit. That
yeah. I mean, so you never know what's going to, and what opportunities are going to happen.
Right.
But I call it just extending Rutherford County's courtesy. And that's what you've got to do. And people come here from all areas. I mean, like I say, what you and I and Bud remember is Rutherford County. It's Rutherford City now. I mean, by gosh, it's almost a country. But
my uncle, who lived in New York, Ben, and Bud knows Uncle Ben,
yeah.
And he said that the business people in New York had a saying, if you cannot make it in Rutherford County in Tennessee, if you can't become successful there, you can't become successful anywhere else. Because it's the attitude of the people down here and the caring. And it's not, maybe if one of somebody comes up and says, bless your heart.
Yeah.
They're not just saying a sentence. They actually mean what they're saying. And where else can you find that kind of careness for other people?
No, I tell you, you won't find it many places. And I hear that compliment over and over again, just about what you, actually the ideal words, is the friendliest people we've ever met. And accommodating, I mean, I've talked to people that be moving in and say, hey, this guy across the road, we met them, and they brought us lunch over, some sandwiches or something from maybe fried chicken or something, drinks, just while I was moving in there. You didn't even know them. But that's just part of life with us. I mean, I'm sure all us on the same wavelength there for us helps. I know there's times you've helped me out there, you know, and I call about a situation or something, the sheriff and Bud over and over again. And I mean, I'm just same way. I mean, if I can help, that's fine. Now, it may get a little out of whack here at time, but I tell you, that's all right. We've done the right thing. That's all that matters.
You know, part of what you're talking about is it's not all about making money. It's about, you know, and that's what I tell people, you know, when I'm in a Sunday school class, we are a servant of Christ, but we are a servant of the people. When I say Bud's Tire has a service, that service means servant. And we're a servant, and that's part of what that you got to realize that you are. And if you don't realize that, if you're just in it for the money, I don't think that you'll ever make it just for the money, because people recognize that. But one of the things that it is helping, and that's part of what you're supposed to do in life, is that kind of thing. And if you can't do that, you know, you're in bad shape.
Yeah, I remember your dad very, very well. I can see him just like it was 50 years ago right now. And people would come in and they would buy things. You sold everything from gas to everything that you needed in the house, and even supplies, tools, and all those things. But I remember that people would come in and they wouldn't have the money. We didn't live in an area where people were just rolling in dough back then.
Right.
And everybody was blue collar, hard workers. But I can remember a lot of times, Mr. Mitchell, Glenn Mitchell, had a book, and he would write down how much each person owed as they would come in. And I can remember he never did hit them up for the amount of money they owed. He knew that when it came time for them to have the money available for him, they would pay.
Yeah.
And it's something that's a lost thing. Yeah. Now, Bud, you still do it, and I know you do it too, Jerry. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in and they don't have the money, they don't pay you a lot of times.
No.
And you've got it in your head. Yeah. More than you do in the book or anything else. Yeah. But yet you're still extremely successful, because people care about you, they love you, and they want you to still respect them.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference in business.
Well, it also is the old golden rule there. It says when one has much is expected, you know. Mm-hmm. Not much can get pretty. But the main thing is just give if you can, help if you can. I remember one of the greatest events in my lifetime as a child, and y'all are familiar with it, Ray Baxter.
Yes.
He was probably the greatest rock person. He could do anything with rocks. I mean, these fancy bricks and all went out there then.
Mm-hmm.
But you could get some different kind of rocks, and we're blessed with rocks in this county. So
we're having abundance.
That's right. But he was doing some work on his farm, and of course one of the dynamite things didn't go off, and it blew. Mm-hmm. He lost a part of an arm and both eyes out of that thing, and lived through it in those times. That had to be in the 50s, but the community came together, the community,
right,
and built that store down there. Mm-hmm. For him and his family. Mm-hmm. I think he had one or two children at that time. I know Alan and one of those cabinet work up there. I can't think of his name now. Mm-hmm. Lonnie.
Yeah, right.
They came together, the community did, built that store, called it Baxter's Chance of a Lifetime Grocery. And Ray Baxter wouldn't sell no backer of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
No cigarettes. Of course, beer then wasn't in the inventory of a store then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was no tobacco, no none of that stuff. And he made a living off that. Of course, it was like a one-stop market to a point. They didn't have the hardware, but they had cow feed, chicken feed, along with the grocery line, you know. And I saw that happen. And, buddy, that was one of the amazing things in my life. And I just tell you, where we are, us three today, is we're just blessed men.
Yes.
I mean, we're blessed, and the community evidently has been with us, the people have been with us, because we've all been successful, and thank God for that, and our people. But you see that kind of action out there, that stays with you. That stays with you, need something. That wasn't just a drop in the bucket thing.
You know, one of the things I think about is that people used to pay when their crop come in.
Yeah.
In other words, you didn't count on them coming every week, mm-hmm, or every month,
mm-hmm,
but they come when they got the money, and you know you had to know that too.
Yeah.
You were successful when you had friends.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it means. Yeah. We have a caller on the line.
Uh-huh.
Caller, welcome aboard with Jerry Robinson and Bud Mitchell.
Good morning. I guess that's me. I wanted to comment on Bud Mitchell. We have roots from a little place called Gasway up in Cannon County. My mother went to school with his daddy. This is Georgia Gannon, by the way, if you remember that name.
Yes, you know, I told him that I have to know people in Cannon County because all four of my grandparents came from the four parts of Cannon County. And I believe that you'll find some of the best people in the world that came from up there.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that in, let Bud know that I was listening, and I remember his daddy going to school with my mother. He probably remembers something she told him one time, too, that was funny, but I won't go into that now, but it's good to hear you. And I also know Jerry from his daddy. He worked with my husband at Middle Tennessee Electric.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted you to know that I was listening, that's all. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Georgia. You know, it's nice to be in a place where you keep those type of relations and memories. You don't really find that anywhere else.
I tell you what, they complimented about our fathers and grandfathers and mothers. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
So when you got that kind of raising and the right things in place, it's going to filter down to you. In most times, as always, someone's going to get astray. But I was only child, and I mean, I got more trouble staying out playing down the road there because I had no brothers or sisters to play. So I was either late for milking or late for something. But that's where I stayed trouble more, just not being where I need to be. First place.
You might have been lucky. I told him I had a sister who could whip me. I was 12-year-old. Then when I got old enough to whip her, my daddy whipped me for whipping her.
I don't ever remember you being old enough to whip Judy. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard.
Oh, good morning.
Yep.
How you all doing?
Casey?
How y'all been doing, gentlemen?
Hey. Getting their ears on.
Okay. All right. Yeah, good to hear from you guys.
That's Keisha Clark.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
Man, let me tell you, I didn't know. I heard he was having a show at 9 o'clock now. I haven't had a chance to listen in. Man, let me tell you guys something. This is a wake-up call today. I do a gospel talk show now in Nashville.
Yeah.
And the days that you guys are talking about is long gone.
Amen. They are.
I have never seen so many so-called Christians in the Bible Belt talk so bad and be so terrible. Hello, truth.
Amen.
Today, y'all come up with people, you could loan people money, and they wouldn't try to hide from you.
Yeah.
They didn't mind. People was real then.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you guys something when I watched on TV. We all watch these shows that have TV. But until I grew up and became a man of God, it took me to watch this stuff. Hello?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Let me give you something. I watched Tarzan the Weekend with Johnny Weissmuller.
Oh.
And he's supposed to be a man in the jungle who didn't have the raising and teaching we had, right?
That's right.
But the way he raised boy was godly.
Yeah.
Let me give you another one. What that tricked me about a year or so ago, that I loved this show all my life, was The Rifleman.
Yes.
Did you all notice the way he raised him?
Oh.
And the Rifleman would be on the porch reading the Bible?
Hmm. Yes, sir.
You can't beat good raising.
No.
And I have a problem with the growth of mothers, bro. Brother Jones and I talked about this for years.
Oh, yes.
I didn't like a lot of growth.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it's, if that's got a problem with, but our kids is out of hand.
Yes, sir.
That you all were talking about how we were drug the church?
Right. Yeah.
It was, see, then parents said something, they meant it.
That's right.
It wasn't a question about, was I going to do it? No. You were going to do it.
Yeah, here we go.
And what we do next, here we go to. Well, let's see what mama say.
Yeah.
Let's see what daddy say. In my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Whether it's your children's, cousins, or friends. Right is still right. And what America has done has lost truth. Yeah, let's call it like it is.
We're hurting.
Yes, sir. Then that's what done caused us to be in trouble.
Yes, sir.
The truth will save you. Have a good one, gentlemen. I appreciate your show.
Hang in there, buddy.
Casey.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you.
Same here.
He's right on. You know, as communities change and other peoples come in, they bring their traditions and their ways of life.
Right.
And we had pretty much across the board the same here in the county, where the parents, they were the ones that actually raised the kids. They took them to church. They taught them all the values that they needed to become successful. And when I say successful, that's being able to walk the right road and really care about people. And as you grow larger, it's sometimes that people become more numbers than they do friends, and you get away from the normal traditional values. And we've seen a lot of that in this community. It's still a large group, and they're still the base, the roots of this community, but it's harder and harder to find them.
One of the things you find that in, and I found this in over a period of years, is the banking industry. We used to have Marshburg Bank, and we had National Bank of Marshburg, and had Commerce Union.
Right.
And we had people that we could just walk in and tell them, ask them something, they could give us an answer. And
you knew them.
Yeah, and they knew you, they knew
right.
your family, and they would even tell you, say, you know, maybe you don't need that. And you know, it turned out, it's kind of like the Lord, sometimes we ask for something and he don't give it to us, but later down the road he said, you know, he really knew what he was doing. And the bankers were kind of like that. They would give you advice where you liked it or not. Most of the time it was the right thing. And that's something we don't have now. And yes, we've got, you know, some local banking here too. And it's better than it was, but it's not like it used to be because of so many different kinds of people, not knowing their background, not knowing their heritage. And when you know a person's heritage, a lot of times you kind of depend on who they are by the way they're raised, you know. So business is kind of like that, you know. And, you know, it's kind of like a gift. A person comes in and said, I need something. I'm hurting. And you see people standing around with signs, you know, I'm hungry. And and you go look. And really, we went to Walmart and we stopped at Applebee's to eat. And there was a person there that was hungry. Well, we walked in and sat down. And on the other side of Applebee's was a new station wagon and two people waiting in it, and this person had had the sign. They come back across, and another one took the sign over there. And, you know, this is the kind of thing you don't know their background. Well, you could tell right then that they didn't, they wasn't hungry, you know. But when a person come in and said they're hungry, and you knew their background, you pretty well knew how to handle that. And that's one. That's, that was, a, in a way, as a gift, but it's because we knew their background, you know. And still, you got that, and you got the instinct of not always making the right decision, but trying to help people because they need help, and you can tell you maybe that they do need help.
You know, there's always people that are going to take advantage of adversities.
Yeah.
And then with so many people out there that really do need help.
Yeah.
But these people will take advantage of it.
They hurt and the ones that need it.
Exactly right.
Yes.
So
then it's bad.
And you're always back. I can remember when my grandmama and mom, when people were having hard times back in the 40s and the 50s, if somebody came and knocked on the door and they needed a meal, they would fix them a meal now.
They would get that meal.
No questions asked.
That's right. And the church took care of an awful lot of that.
Oh, yes.
I tell you, we've gone from a time to where a man's word, it's just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Used to, many deals was done on a handshake and a word. Now, I could go up here and get a loan, and I'll sign probably 15 pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, you know what? All these signatures mean nothing. It's what my heart means. I'm going to make every effort I can to pay that back. Now, that doesn't mean that something may happen to where I'll get behind or what, but I'm going to come and tell you about it. That's what I'm going to do. But we've just went through there. We had all this housing thing come through, you know, and it went out. And we've just got too much government right now.
That would never have happened if the banks were still local banks.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I remember Bud sold me a car, and I went to the bank, and we all remember Barbara Herod Brown.
Yeah.
And I went in there, and I said, Barbara, I need to borrow some money. Mm-hmm. Told her what for. Mm-hmm. She filled out one little slip of paper.
Right.
I signed it, and I walked out with the money right then.
Same thing with myself.
But the banks knew everybody. Mm-hmm. They knew their backgrounds. And like Bud said earlier, if it was something you were about to get into that would be over your head and not be the type of a deal you wanted to make or needed to make, they would always work with you.
That's right.
Be anything where they talk down to you, but they try to give you enough advice where you could make the right decision.
Right. Yeah.
And I still miss that because I remember when the bank started. If you go in now, and I'm really not after banks.
No, huh?
But they're not locally run anymore.
No.
There is a headquarters somewhere else besides here, and that's where all the decision making is done.
And so many regulations. They almost have to have a book when you come in for a loan to see what kind it is, and this is what we got to do. This is the paperwork we got to get signed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy how it works up anymore. But Barbara Herod, great friend, good person.
Yeah.
Same thing as myself. I was living in Georgia, had an opportunity to buy a house up here that I'd financed, and they went default on it, but I had to go back and bid in on it.
Mm-hmm.
One day's time, she said, when's the sale? Is it tomorrow? She said, I'll meet you there. And so that's a... That was, I thought, it's the times have changed so much, it's hard for me to adjust to them, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I will, but I won't adjust. I'll just go along because that's what we got to do. But the mandate now has just gotten crazy. And it's just government intervention. I tell you, there's some laws and things that's got to be established. But some of these things don't work without a lot of that.
You know, laws are made a lot of time under the right reasoning as far as people need things and they try to help them. But sometimes good laws can become bad laws.
Yep.
And one thing that it comes into my mind right now is the new health care plan. It sounds good, you know, in some respects.
Right.
But as small business owners, it is a terribly devastating law because I've talked to some friends, not you guys, but I've talked to some friends who have small businesses here. And businesses that are going extremely well, but I have been told that if and when it comes into effect, that it is going to absolutely turn their business completely around and maybe not be able to continue operating.
Well, it's just kind of like, you know, all the regulations even try to go in business, probably now, I guess I'd be so stubborn, but we have so many codes and stuff that it discourages the small man from even going in business. It has to be a corporation that has money built up to go in business. And so to start all over, I probably couldn't do it. I know I had, you know, had the fire, but I had a lot of friends, a lot of good help, and the county government and people really were behind me. But if I had to just start completely over, it would be hard to do because of government regulations. And it doesn't really help the small man at all, and it would really discourages him from being in business. But if it wasn't for the small businesses, you look at who's paying the taxes, the small businesses, because the big businesses always have the lawyers and all to go around the loopholes and put invested in something to keep from paying the taxes. So you know, it doesn't really inspire young people to go in business for themselves, you know.
The strength of the communities will always be the small business and will always be the community. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you.
Hey, it's a back to school bash. Partner with CB&S Bank to help the kids in our community succeed by donating school supplies. Drop by any CB&S Bank location by August 17th with pencils, notebooks, or other school supplies. Your support will ensure that all children are ready for school. While there, be sure to register to win the newest iPad. Go to cbsbank.com for our branch locations. No purchase or account necessary to register to win. Drawing August 31st. Member FDIC.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Skill Construction, established in 1991, has what it takes to provide quality products and service while delivering customer satisfaction in home building, remodeling, and restoration. Skill Construction, a name that assures homeowners and buyers a lifetime of comfort and superior value in their investment. A designated certified green professional, certified professional builder and remodeler by the Home Builders Association. 904-8842. It's better when it's built with skill. Skill Construction, 904-8842.
Remember the saying, you can bank on it? They were trying to gain your trust. Customer trust is more important today than ever before. And businesses who are in tune with the needs of their customers understand the right balance between high-tech and high-touch services. Meeting customer expectations and doing it with respect is the ultimate test of better business. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. And we want to let you know that when you need car repairs, you want somebody you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You guys being in small business, have you seen a lot of changes and have you had to adjust to the way things are going in government as it relates to small business? And you were saying a minute ago, you probably couldn't even get started, but...
You know, one of the things that I think that I've seen happen is that you really have to have someone that that does that kind of thing to help you along, because there's so many regulations and so many things now, so many taxes, so many things that you never, the average man never thinks about, such as Dempsey. If you don't have someone to do the accounting for you, you might wind up locked up, because there's so many things that every day there's something due, you know. Every month, it's unbelievable. And it doesn't, and that's one thing that doesn't encourage you to be in business, even though, you know, there's a lot of things there. And I told them, if I'd been working for somebody else, probably I'd been fired a million times. It's kind of like Staley. I told them about Staley working for Roscoe Brown. You know, I told him he wouldn't last 3 weeks, and he lasted 51 years with Roscoe before he passed. But
there's one thing I wanted to mention about Wendell Staley.
Yeah.
Wendell Staley was one of these people. He loved working on anything with a motor or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the guy was an absolute genius. He could listen to a motor run and tell you exactly what was wrong with that motor. I mean, when it was a two-way street. When Roscoe Brown hired him, that was a blessing for Roscoe and a blessing for Wendell.
Yes, because he put up with
it. Roscoe was the only one that could do it.
Yeah.
But you, you have always opened up your business, and at night, Wendell Staley, after working all day for Roscoe, would actually go in and work late at night on cars, but he would only work on people that he knew. And he and I'll guarantee you, what he would charge you would be half of what you could get, and maybe even less than that.
One of the things that I learned out of Wendell was patience. I remember stood on a head in the back by the firewall, and he took 1 week on one stud. It was broke off there, and if it would have been me, I would have put a stick of dynamite under it, or I would have took a
I remember you fussing about that, matter of fact.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, he taught me something about patience, and really, my wife says I don't have them, but you know,
she's told me that
I've got more patience than I have because of Wendell, you know, and watching him do things that I just couldn't sit there and do. I would just go wild, you know, I'd go crazy. But anyway, he taught me a lot about that, and I really appreciate, you know, his friendship, too.
Yeah, if you getting back just a little bit on that, the mandate for small businesses, and everyone's a little bit different. I mean, what's required of me in food is really not required of Bud, you know, in tires, but some of it is, as far as paying your employee tax on time, your sales tax on time. They're going to tell you when to get it there. That was okay. Now, by Jacks, you've got to go on this online and pay it. If you don't do it that way, you get a fine. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
I mean, you get the payment, you get the payment. And then they've gone to foods now. You're supposed to put all the calorie things that's in there, you know. And that's a cost factor. But you think people really – now, some do, don't get me wrong. But a lot of them, I mean, the majority does not really care about the calorie count. They're going to eat what they want to eat. And so they say, well, you've got to. So there's another cost factor. And you're getting to where – you're really not running your business. You're being told how to run your business. And if you, and again, if you don't pay that online, that sales tax online, there's a fine there, $500, matter of fact.
That's amazing.
And so we ran into that with a fellow down here, a friend of mine, and he asked if we do it. And I said, well, I'm not into that. My son takes care of it, and I knew we did, really. And I asked him, we had to do it. That's law. They'd already fined him $1,000 because he really didn't pick up on it. Too much we're not doing it, paying it, but not online. That's crazy.
Government is not small business friendly. And the thing about it is that they are actually punishing the people that are really the roots and the strength and the heart of this country. I don't understand that.
It just seems like you're just trying to have a driving force. The time will tell on the whole thing, really what's behind all this. And it's almost like they're just suppressing and just holding down those avenues. We'll have these type businesses, and then you'll have a choice to run them. You're finding out now we got the college students going, and that's great. But you get all the doggone student loans in there, and you look at what's on the tail end of those, and those people are crying. Well, you've got jobs that these people, they're on these computers. Programming and repairing and setting up all the stuff. There's not that many jobs for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have 30,000 students coming out, but you only got 1,000 of those type jobs. Well, these guys not going to, hey, they can't turn a wrench out there at Bud Mitchell's or drive a nail with a carpenter. They're not going to hit that asphalt shovel, I'll tell you, because I hear from Nissan and them down all the time. The kids just don't know how to use a tool. Then you enter in with the drug test thing. So here we go, you know.
We don't need to be producing robots in this country. We need to produce people who really care like it always has been. And that's why, you know, you small business people, you need somebody to represent you. Maybe you need to start your own political party. Don't just leave the political out of it. Just put party and go out and
you know, one of the things I found that if a person will specialize in what they do, whether it be a shovel, where it be a wrench, where it be the best that they can be, whatever they be the best in, they'll do good in life because, you know, they'll put their heart in it and do it. And I would encourage anyone that that even though it can't go to college, and everybody's not college
material.
My mama found that out from me.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you do your best and really put your best into whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You'll do good in this country, and you have to go somewhere else to realize that this country is a great country, but it amounts to who you are, too.
You're exactly right. It's been a great show today. One of my most fun shows is when I have these guys on.
Well, and thank you.
We will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m., or actually, I guess you'll be listening tomorrow. And we're going to have Mr. Mike Lowrance on, and his book has just come out, and we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, and we'll be talking about fishing and doing all those great things that Mike really likes to do. So we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9.